Good morning. Good morning. It's good to see all of you today. Glad that you are here. Good to have the church family. Good to have visitors with us today. We want to welcome you and encourage you to, if you have questions or concerns, please don't be afraid to ask and talk to one of us, and we'll try to get the answer for you as quickly as possible. We've been studying through the book of 1 Corinthians, and so if you have your Bibles with you, turn to 1 Corinthians, and there are Bibles available there under the chairs if you need one. 1 Corinthians. The lives of many people are very mobile, filled with moving. Sometimes it's couple streets, sometimes it's across town, sometimes it's from state to state. People living in areas plagued by war and disasters, of course, are very likely to move to get out of danger's way. In the church, of course, preachers come and go. You know that the average stay of a youth minister is just 1.5 years. And the average stay of a preacher is only about 2 years. You guys have a lot of tolerance. So, you know, there are moves that take place. In some denominations, they intentionally rotate their pastors around on a year or 2 year basis. Maybe a little bit more. It varies from denomination to denomination. We are an independent group, so it's local leadership makes that choice. And some moves are brought on the clergy because of their actions or lack of actions. So some are self-inflicted wounds, right? And unfortunately, we run into that from time to time. Some occupations require fast relocation. There's a lot of people working in as a welder or construction. Even the disaster relief teams that go out, they have to be ready to run immediately. I once read that many Americans move on the average of about 2 years. It may be just a short distance, or it may be clear across the country. The Alamogordo Church, when we were down there, we had a lot of Air Force people, and a lot of them came through on very short assignments. We'd only see them for a few months, and then they were up and gone again. Most people experiencing moves have a difficult time building trust and friendships with other people. Add to that the issues of crime, the push for doing your own thing, your own calendars, community tension, peer pressure, bad habits, the neglect of worshiping God. The results in our society of there's a lot of mistrust, a lot of selfishness, a lot of loneliness, a lot of fear, a lot of despair. And people are wanting to find help, but they don't really know how to go about to get it help. And so one of the good things is that God invites us, encourages us to help each other. Jesus Christ directs his followers to live and to work in this world with a new lifestyle. Part of the devotion to Christ includes obeying the command to practice hospitality as part of our life. And it is a command in the Scripture. And a lot of times we don't think of being hospitable as a command, but it is. We're going to be looking at that today. A lot of businesses that depend upon good public relations realize the importance of practicing hospitality. They invest financially heavily in training their employees to be courteous. They address the body language. It's like when you walk up to somebody and say, "Oh, I'm so glad to see you." Oh, really? What does the body language say? No, they really didn't want to see you. Listening and answering skills are also part of being hospitable to somebody. How well do we practice hospitality as servants of Christ. I want to challenge us today as we look at the Scriptures and examine what the Scriptures have to say. Is there an area where we need to grow and improve in our hospitality if we claim to be a follower of Christ? Before we go any further, I want to invite you to join me in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for this day. Thank you for the blessings that we enjoy. Thank you for this opportunity to gather together as fellow believers, people who are seeking out your truths and looking for answers in life. Father, help us all to continue to grow and to mature in the knowledge of your will, your instructions, your commands, your desires. Thank you for Jesus Christ who came and gave his all. Thank you for the example that he has given to us, the example of the apostles and other people of Scripture that you have raised up as examples before us. Help us to learn and to put into play, into practice, into a lifestyle, those good qualities that you called us to. Lead us and guide us, stretch us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So our text today, we are in the last chapter of 1 Corinthians, one of Paul's letters. And we're picking up at verses 5 through 12. Verse 5 through 12. I'm reading from the New American Standard translation of the Scriptures, maybe a little bit different from yours and those that are in the chairs. But I will come to you after I go through Macedonia, for I am going through Macedonia. And perhaps I will stay with you or even spend the winter so that you may send me on my way wherever I may go. For I do not wish to see you now just in passing, for I hope to remain with you for some time, if the Lord permits. But I will remain in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a wide door of effective service has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. Now if Timothy comes, see that he is with you without cause to be afraid, for he is doing the Lord's work as I also am. So let no one despise him, but send him on his way in peace, so that he may come to me, for I expect him with the brethren. But concerning Apollos, our brother, I encouraged him greatly to come to you with the brethren, and it was not at all his desire to come now, but he will come when he has opportunity. Now, this is the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Corinth. He's finishing up the letter. One of the issues is, if you start at the beginning of 1 Corinthians, the church had become self-centered attitudes afflicting the people. They were just a bunch of selfish little brats, you might say. And so Paul is addressing many, many issues to the church at Corinth. And yet he concludes the letter in a loving way saying, I want to spend some more time with you. I can't do it right now. I've got some plans. If I'm trying to follow God's plan. And if God allows it, I'll come and spend not just a day or two, but I want to spend a lengthy time with you. From this passage and many other passages, we address the issue of practicing hospitality. The first Christians depended on hospitality that was to be offered. Now, before we get any further, I'm sure you all have an idea of what hospitality is, but just to be clear, I went to the old trusty Webster's Dictionary to define it, so that we're talking about the same thing. Hospitality is defined as the practice of entertaining visitors with kindness and courtesy. And one who is hospitable is somebody who is generous and warm-hearted in receiving and entertaining visitors. And as Christians, shouldn't we all have plenty of reason to be practicing hospitality? If we are followers of Christ, we do. And we see, again, the first Christians depended on the hospitality being offered on a regular basis. If we start with the first Christians were all from a Jewish background. They had been raised and trained in the Mosaic Law. The Mosaic Law commands people to practice hospitality. God gave His guidelines for practicing love with fellow humans throughout the law. The law repeatedly points to hospitality, and I've given you a few examples. In the book of Exodus, chapter 22, the warning was to not harm or oppress any stranger. That was talking about somebody that maybe they lived down the street, but you didn't know them. That's a stranger. How about somebody passing through the territory from another country? That was a stranger. The law was, do not oppress them. Don't treat them badly. Treat them with kindness and goodness. In Leviticus chapter 19, verse 10, the law was to leave the corners of the field. And if you're going through, you're picking your fruit and harvest, to don't pick everything, but leave some. What was that all about? Well, for two reasons. One was to leave some food for the poor people who didn't have anything. And the second was for the people passing through, the strangers passing through, so they could have food available along through the fields. And then we come to the ultimate command that Jesus repeated. What's the second most important command, according to Jesus? Love your neighbor as yourself. Where's that from? That's from the book of Leviticus, chapter 19, verse 34. We are to love the people around us. It doesn't matter who they are, what nation they are, what background they are. People need love. How many of you like to be loved? We all like to be loved. And so we are to treat others with love and kindness and goodness, just as we treat ourselves. We also see that Jesus taught His disciples to trust in hospitable people. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 5 and following, it records Jesus sending the 12 disciples, the first 12 handpicked men, out to preach the gospel with only the clothes on their back. To not carry anything extra with them, they were to totally depend on God providing homes, people who would provide for their needs, every need. God would prepare these worthy people to provide housing, food, protection, whatever was needed. And then Jesus goes on at the end of that statement, He says, those who are hospitable to you, give them a blessing. Anyone who is not hospitable to you, give them your curse. Wow, that's serious. Why did Jesus say that? Well, number one, they were supposed to be practicing it to start with. They were in Judea, the center of Judaism. The Israelites were supposed to be practicing that anyway from Mosaic Law. And Jesus says, if they're not doing that, they don't love God. Do they deserve goodness from God if they are doing everything opposite from what God commands them? They are under God's curse for failing to share with somebody, a stranger passing through. That's pretty strong language, but it is God's word. God is loving. He's also just. God is kind and patient, but He's also vengeful. So Jesus was laying this on the hearts of His disciples to go out and to look for people who would take them in and take care of them. Jesus lived as an example of complete hospitality. He shared everything that He had with the people around Him. He gave all of His instruction, all of His wisdom, all of His understanding. Is that where it stopped? No. Jesus gave healing. He released people from demons. He shared food with the hungry. He gave life to the dead. Jesus was giving and giving and giving constantly. He gave His own life to pay for all of our sin, and not just ours, but the sin of everybody. Jesus was total hospitality in human flesh. He promised to give us something more than what we have here in this world. What? Eternal life. We're looking for His return. And He's promised us an eternity. The Apostle Paul's team depended on the hospitality of Christians. We just read this section where he is expressing statements that require hospitality of the church that was at Corinth as well as other locations. Believers of Christ became one big family, one body. We are taught that throughout the scriptures. And that body is to be like our human body. All the different parts help support the other parts, right? What if your lungs decide to go on strike and say, I'm not going to work today? That's not very good, is it? Because every part in our body works and functions together. And that's what the church is to be. All of us working together, helping each other, making sure all the needs and concerns are being taken care of, wherever it may need to be helped. Those who are saved and helped in Christ should be appreciative and supportive of the messengers sent by God, in this case, Saul, Silas, Timothy, and others who were bringing them the message of salvation in Jesus Christ. And the church was appreciative. They were supporting those missionaries, those workers. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16, we find this statement. Do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. So the principle established clear back in the Old Testament carries through into the New Covenant in Christ. We are to be looking for ways of doing good, of sharing, of helping those around us. That's a way of practicing God's love. The second point that I want to deal with is that hospitality naturally grows in servants of Christ. If we are really committed to Christ, serving God, there's going to be growth of this attitude of hospitality. All who become one with Jesus, being fully surrendered and obeying Him, we will be growing in godly love for God and for people, the people around us. The fruit of God's Spirit promotes hospitality, the hospitable actions on the part of Christians. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. You've all heard me refer to this passage a million times, right? The fruit of the Spirit is love. Number one, love should cover it all. Joy, peace, patience. What's the next one? Kindness and goodness. Those are qualities that the Spirit of God is trying to build in us. When the Spirit moves into our lives, He's radiating that attitude, that lifestyle in us. As we submit to God, the Spirit is going to lead us in those qualities. That's part of the nature of God, and it is given to us as believers. The question is, are we listening to the Spirit? Are we following the lead of the Spirit? And so that is a challenge for us to open up our minds and hearts. How can I be more hospitable, more kind to those around me? Paul's letter indicates that he anticipates hospitable treatment from the believers at Corinth, first of all for Timothy, then he mentions Apollos himself, and for all the servants of Christ. Any of those leaders coming through to help, support, encourage, and uplift them, they needed the support and the hospitality of those Christians. Our love of God is revealed through our practicing hospitality. The Apostle John discusses the necessity of Christians showing God's love through our response to the people around us. He challenges those who are inhospitable with a question. And this comes from 1 John chapter 3, verse 17. Here's the question John throws at us. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Where's the love? It's not there. If you close your heart to somebody, you see a need, and you can meet that need, that means you've closed your heart. You're not showing compassion, not showing kindness. I'm not. We are not. However you want to term that. Godly love overflowed in the first believers in Jerusalem. If you have your Bibles with you, I want to turn back to Acts chapter 2. In the very beginning of the churches, people were coming to Christ. They were devoting their lives to the Lord. And here's what we read about the beginning of the church in Acts chapter 2, verse 41 through 45. So then, those who had received his word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Now, if you continue reading on there, we are introduced to Barnabas, who was talked about. Brother Ray talked about Barnabas earlier, about his big heart. And Barnabas went out and sold property and devoted that money to the work of the church. And then we're introduced to a couple, Ananias and Sapphira, who did not have a big heart. They had a selfish heart. And they had bad intentions and ended up dead because of those bad intentions. If you're not familiar with the story, go back and read. Continue reading in the book of Acts. We have a good example and a bad example. Which example will we follow? The third point I want to touch on today is hospitable attitudes need to be renewed daily. It's a daily challenge. The frustrations of life, the challenges of life hit us from all different angles and new ways, and we need to renew our commitment to Christ's ways on a daily basis. The Apostle John warns us of our constant need to confess our sins, even once we give our life to Jesus Christ. Even as a redeemed Christian, we still have areas of sin that we need to confess, according to 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. It's a daily challenge. And may I suggest that maybe part of our confession would be in regard to our failures to be hospitable when we should be. We need to examine that. We need to be open-minded and consider, am I being all that God wants me to be? Our witness for Christ depends on true hospitality shared with other people. Our failure to share is our failure to care. That's serious. If we don't care, we're not going to share. If we start to care about somebody, we open up and we share with them. Jesus commands actively living generous love towards those who are around us. If you go back and read the examples that he gives in what we call the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5. If somebody asks you for a coat, give them their cloak also. If somebody asks you for this, give them more than what they ask for. If somebody asks you to go 1 mile, what does he say? Go twice as far. Don't be stingy. What is stinginess? It's sinfulness. God gives to us so that we can be able to give to others. We talked about this in the previous sermon, the previous message, that we be a people are looking for ways of helping the people around us. Practicing hospitality is an act of serving Jesus himself. Now, a lot of times we don't think about it, but we need to put somehow, when we don't have any actual portraits of Jesus. So, you know, all those portraits we grow up with, those are somebody's imagination. But somehow we need to, when we see somebody else, We need to put the face of Jesus on them. Why do we say that? In Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 through 46, Jesus talked about our actions of how we treat the people around us. He says that our efforts to feed, to clothe, and to care for people in need is the same as doing it to Him or for Him. And if we don't feed, clothe, care for people around us, we have neglected who? Jesus Himself. Now that's serious. We claim to love Jesus and then we turn our backs on Him? Is that the way we're going to treat Jesus? And Jesus associates our treatment of other people as the way we would treat Him. Do you know what Jesus looks like? If Jesus were to actually walk into your life, hungry, thirsty, in need of help, would you? A total stranger? And that's what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 25. He goes on to say the final judgment includes evaluating how hospitable people have been. Wow, that is serious. If on the judgment day God opens up the books and says, well, you walked past this person, you shut the door on this person, you didn't help that person that was sick, you didn't love many people, did you? You're not very much like me, are you? That's serious. All who have learned to love as Jesus loved will be showing that love through their concern and through their assistance that they give to other people. God provides you with opportunities to be hospitable. God provides them to me, I know. And I sort through it, and some days I fail, some days I am able to accomplish it. As you interact with neighbors, co-workers, strangers, and get this, even your relatives, even those that you've gotten crossways with, what are we to be? Hospitable, kind, loving, representing Jesus. Does that mean we put up with sin? No, we don't put up with sin. We don't agree with sin. But we are still supposed to be loving, kind, gracious, and kind. Practicing godly love, generosity, and kindness for the glory of who? The glory of Jesus, the glory of God, and we will please our Heavenly Father. The Apostle Paul addresses that in Colossians chapter 3, making two different statements, one of them being verse 17. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it all to the glory of God. Practicing hospitality within this church is vitally essential. How can we claim to love God if we fail to practice love even with each other, the family of believers? I want to encourage you to make time, make the effort to get to know all of your fellow believers. And we are so glad to have a lot of first-timers with us today. We have a lot of opportunity to express some hospitality. The question is, will we make the effort, make the time? Even with you old-timers who've been here for years and years, how much do you know about each other? When was the last time you spent some time with each other? Got to know each other. How well do you know the concerns that a brother and sister is going through right now? The world around us is watching to see if we are really practicing what we preach. A lot of people are watching, and we don't even know they're watching, but they're examining us. I want to encourage you, I want to encourage me, all of us, to examine our hospitality practices, our love practices. Are we really representing God the way we should be? Does God does require you and me to give more than what we do. He gives us everything. He's the great provider, right? And so we need to put our trust in Him. Are you willing to show God's love to others with what God does give to you? He doesn't expect you to go out and take everybody in 10 out to dinner. Any of you can afford that? But if we have something, we can share whatever it is with those around us. As servants of Christ, let's all be found by our Lord practicing hospitality so that He will say, "Well done, good and faithful servants. Come and welcome into the joy of the Lord." Amen? Hospitality is love in action. Would you pray with me? Thank you, Father, for Jesus. Thank you for life. Thank you for the scriptures that record the actions, words, and deeds of the righteous and the unrighteous. Father, help us to choose wisely, to choose righteously, to put into practice your ways, to truly live love. Love for you and love for people around us. Help us to examine our practices of how hospitable we are. Lead us and guide us in your will, your way, your truth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.